From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM next hour. Does Google know everything about you? Catherine Albrecht joins us. We're going to talk about some privacy issues. And if you're into computers, social networking, smartphones, you're going to love this program next hour with Catherine Albrecht. Here's what's happening. Well, a pair of United Kingdom tourists were arrested after landing in Los Angeles on terror charges after they joked on Twitter that they were going to destroy America and dig up Marilyn Monroe. Not very smart. Lee Van Bryan, 26-year-old, was detained after landing in Los Angeles with his friend, 24-year-old Emily Bunton. Bryan was flagged as a potential threat after tweeting. Bryan and Bunton told officials that the term destroy was British slang for party. Despite the explanation, they were held on suspicion of planning to commit crimes and their passports confiscated. Well, there's some talk about Iran now that they may want to attack the United States on U.S. soil. U.S. intelligence agencies believe that Iran is prepared to launch terrorist attacks inside the United States in response to any perceived threats from America and its allies. The director of the National Intelligence, James Clapper Jr., said in a very prepared testimony that an alleged Iranian plot to assassinate the Saudi ambassador in Washington that was uncovered last year reflects an aggressive new willingness within the upper ranks of the Islamic Republic to authorize attacks against the United States. Mitt Romney, the winner of the Florida primary, strong, crushing all the other candidates. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com with us. John, it's still a long primary to go here, but he did well.
Oh, he did really well. 20 points difference, George. And the thing is that we really could see the desperation on Gingrich's side. Of course, the other two candidates, Santorum pulling at about 14%, and I think Ron Paul about 7%. They're out of the race completely. I mean, Paul's there. He's got a following that just likes to hear him, basically. But if you really get a big picture right now, this isn't even a two-horse race any longer. Gingrich is a kind of a dead man walking here, and it's just this is Romney's candidacy. The ducks are lining up behind Romney. They don't want a long, drawn-out thing. They're looking for a battle with Obama, and I think that Romney is their man.
And according to polls, it would be close between Romney and President Barack Obama.
Well, I think that as long as the GOP can continue to defy reality and say that this stock market, which is at almost 13,000 right now, and when Obama took off, it was at 8,000.
Yeah.
As long as they can say that the 3 million jobs that were added since June of 2010 really didn't happen, then I think they can continue to make the argument that this is midnight in America and that we're, close to the precipice. But if they look at the facts right now, the worst news was the news that came out today that the federal budget deficit is dropping to $1.1 trillion, down from $1.4, almost $1.5 trillion, and that's just in the last 6 months. And that's very bad news for the GOP because their main thrust in this election is that Obama is incompetent to manage the economy.
November's a long time away, John Curtis. Thanks so much. John's website, by the way, linked up to our Twitter feed. You'll find that at coasttocoastam.com. Well, home prices fell more steeply than expected in November, and consumers, you, turned less optimistic in January, highlighting the hurdle still facing the bumpy economic recovery after accelerating at its fastest pace in a year and a half. At the end of 2011, the U.S. economy expected to slow, they say, in 2012. We shall see. What's going on in China? Analysts believe China bought as much as 490 tons of gold in 2011. Now, that's double the estimated 245 tons in 2010. Who's buying it all? Well, they say the People's Bank of China, the central bank, they may be one of the big buyers. Craig Smith, an expert on gold with us. Craig, what does this all mean with China buying up so much gold?
Well, George, I think we can walk away with a couple different thoughts about what's going on over there. First off, the first 11 months of 2011, George, the Chinese bought 389 tons of this 490 tons that you talked about. And then when the December prices dropped, we saw them jump in 1 month and buy 101 tons of gold. Now, this is just their export or that they go to export nations or import nations to get. And this doesn't count what they produce. China's the largest gold producer. So you can walk away with it with a couple things. First off, the People's Bank of China, if you listen to Zheng Xiaotou, he said no asset is safe. Now the only choice to hedge risk is to hold hard assets, gold. Now, they own $1.1 trillion worth of U.S. Treasury notes, George, so they have to be able to hedge those treasuries.
That's right.
Also, the people in China, they cannot export their currency. There's been a lot of capital flight leaving China from businesses, but not from the people. So the people can end up buying gold, and it works as a proxy. Also, the people know that the Chinese have always manipulated their currency, and considering the trade surpluses are starting to decline right now, they will probably weaken the yuan in order to increase their trade, and as a direct result, inflation will run in the yuan or the loss of buying power. So it's amazing what's going on over there, George, but I noticed a corresponding article. You notice that right there in California, you guys need $3.3 billion just to get by for the next couple months.
Where's it going to come from?
It's amazing to me, George. You have the eighth largest economy in the world in California, and you're running these massive deficits. So I think the Chinese people are seeing that whether you look in the United States, whether you look in China, whether you look in Greece or Portugal, the world's a mess right now, and they're moving back towards gold.
Well,
I thought what was more important than anything, George, in this article is not who was buying the gold. But think about it. Portugal, they're sitting on $20 billion worth of gold. They haven't sold any. The IMF. Greece added 1,000 ounces of gold to their portfolio this last month when they should probably be selling to pay their bills. Nobody wants to let go of gold. That tells me there's trouble on the horizon.
It's a good point, Craig. They're hoarding it, and maybe they think that gold is going to go through the roof, and they'll be able to get out of some of their debt problems that way. Thank you so much, Craig Smith. An 8-year-old British schoolgirl has become an internet sensation because of her astounding skills with the electric guitar. Zoe Thompson's guitar playing has impressed music fans all across the world. Her latest clip, which has attracted now more than 2 million hits on YouTube, features her playing along to a track by the Finnish symphonic metal band Stratovarius. Listen to her. Okay, well, up next, we're going to talk with Giorgio Tsoukalos about ancient aliens and some of his work. And by the way, if you have a moment, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website under the highlight reel. Take a look at our assistant to Tommy, Will, who is wearing a picture of Giorgio Tsoukalos all over him. I don't know why he's doing it, but he is. We've got the picture for you at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. As you know, I appear on Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, and wherever I go, everybody always comes up to me and they say, tell me about that guy, Giorgio Tsoukalos. Tell me about his hair. Well, we've got the guy with the hair on in just a second here. Giorgio Tsoukalos, described as the real-life Indiana Jones, he's a trailblazer. He thinks about ancient astronaut theories. He is publisher of the Legendary Times. He's the director of Eric von Däniken's Center for Ancient Astronaut Research, and he's a darn right good guy. Here's Giorgio Tsoukalos back on Coast to Coast. Giorgio, how are you?
Very well, George. Thank you very much for having me back on. I'm very excited about this.
Have you had a moment to see the picture of Willie on the coasttocoastam.com website?
You will get a kick out of it. He looks really good. It's pretty amazing.
I love
it. He totally looks Tsoukalicious. That's what he does.
I was at an event with you last year when you pulled out this T-shirt and the crowds went wild.
Yes, and in fact, wasn't that the Conscious Life Expo? Was it in October?
That was the October one. One's coming up in February I'm speaking at.
Right, exactly. And we're going to have...
You're on the panel.
Aliens panel as well. And so, you know, everybody that wants to meet some of the cast of Ancient Alien should definitely come out to that
panel on ancient aliens at the Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 12th. It's on Friday night, February 10th, where Jason Martell, William Henry, Linda Moulton Howe, David Wilcock, Marshall Klarfeld, and Michael Cremo will all have a panel about ancient aliens, and of course also Mike Barra. He's on there.
Super. You've got some great people. You know, I've got to tell you, and I wasn't kidding, wherever I go, people have seen this television show. It's truly remarkable at how many people are watching this. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Positive stuff. And what really is, appreciated by me is the fact that a whole bunch of young kids are watching this program. Because to me, this is something where, you know, I consider myself a young kid still. I'm 33 years old. But at the same time, you know, there is, you know, 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 20-year-olds that come up to me and they say, you know, this is great stuff. This is exciting. So to me, I had the same sentiments when I was that age myself. Because, you know, a lot of times when people think about archaeology or when they think about museums and ancient texts and things like that, a lot of people think it's a boring subject matter, but it really isn't. It's our history, and our history is not the way we're being taught in school, but our history has something to do with outer space. And that is, it's really exciting stuff.
Now, you know, Thursday I've got Mike Kaiser on, who does not agree with the theories of the late Zechariah Sitchin, does not believe that the interpretation of those Sumerian tablets is accurate at all, and he's entitled to that, and I'm looking forward to talking to him, Giorgio. But by and large, a lot of people believe that this planet has been visited, was visited, continues to be visited. Ancient Aliens takes a very in-depth look at all that, but I want you to tell me, if you would, Giorgio, in your own words, what you think happened on this planet a long time ago.
Well, according to the ancient astronaut theory, a long, long time ago, extraterrestrials, flesh and blood extraterrestrials, arrived on planet Earth and essentially jump-started our civilization all around the world in any of the ancient cultures. And that is not something that we just pulled out of thin air, but all around the world in the ancient cultures, we can read about the gods descending from the sky. And even archaeologists would agree that in most cases, what we can read in the ancient texts is about the gods descending from the sky. Yet at the same time, when archaeologists talk about this, they say, okay, it's the gods. That's what all of this was made for. And then they go home and they say, all right, mystery solved, case closed, that's it. But that is not the final answer. The final answer is who, or the final question should be, who were these gods?
That's right.
And according to the ancient alien theory, the gods were nothing else but flesh and blood extraterrestrials whom our ancestors thought were divine or magical beings because they had access to technology that our ancestors at the time didn't quite understand.
Well, if they were the gods, if the people on this planet interpreted them as being the gods because they came from the heavens, that doesn't negate the belief of the god, does it?
Of course not. And that's, you know, one of the biggest questions that I receive is, so does that mean you're an atheist? Does that mean you don't believe in God? And nothing could be any further from the truth because, like you, George, I am a God-fearing man. However, in my personal opinion, it all depends who you think or how you interpret the word God or what God is. And in my opinion, God is the universe. It's this all-encompassing force that we're all a part of. It doesn't matter if it's a civilization here on Earth or a civilization elsewhere, but we all belong to this one giant force, this spirit of creation, as I like to call it. And so, you know, the idea that this negates God is completely nonsense, because if extraterrestrials exist, and I'm totally convinced they do, and not only do they exist, but they were here, and they are here, and they will be here, that makes the concept of God even bigger than what we're being told today.
We're with Giorgio Tsoukalos. We're talking about ancient aliens here on Coast to Coast AM. Giorgio, why doesn't science chase down these puzzles?
Well, because you know, it's unfortunately it's the current dogma that does not allow for extraterrestrials here on Earth, meaning that, you know, we are considered to be the pinnacle of creation. And while we have come very far along our own evolution and we are very advanced beings, you know, by and large, looked at from the entire chronology of the universe, we're a fairly young civilization. So to think that we are the pinnacle is the height of human arrogance. There are other civilizations out there that are older than us, and that means they're also more technologically advanced, even potentially philosophically more advanced than us. So, you know, that is that idea of the ancient aliens. It totally steps on everybody's toes. And you know what? That's a great thing, because what we should do is we should question our origins, and it's great to ask uncomfortable questions, because that's all we do. We ask questions of what if, is it possible? And the answer is yes.
I got all excited a couple of weeks ago when scientists came out and theorized that our galaxy alone could possess billions of planets. I mean, what an incredible thing to say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's absolutely insane. And we're living in very exciting times at the moment, because not a week or a month goes by when they don't release such incredible news. That's the thing. So everything that is being released in our news all around us, this is all part of the ancient alien question, to talk about Philip Coppens' book. But the thing is that, you know, this is exactly it, the extraterrestrial question. We are totally surrounded by this. And the more things are being released to the mainstream audience, the more clear the picture becomes that not only are we not alone, but we've never been alone, and we are but one of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of other civilizations out there. And we're a young civilization.
The Mayans depict a very fair-skinned, white-haired person who walks into their environment, stays with them. They hail him as a god. Where did Kukla Khan come from? Where did he come from?
Well, there are varied opinions about that. And Kukla Khan was always described just like you described him just now. But at the same time, he was also described as a flying snake or a winged serpent. Now, our ancestors, as both you and I agree, were not idiots. They were highly intelligent. They were as intellectually intelligent as we are today. It's just that their technological frame of reference was more primitive than ours today. So if they have descriptions of flying snakes, we have to ask ourselves, what were they thinking? What are they referring to? Because they knew that snakes could not fly. So if we take this into consideration, that whenever this plumed serpent or this flying serpent showed up, it always was with a whole bunch of smoke and noise and fire. And as it sat down on the ground, the earth was trembling and the people threw themselves to the ground because they were afraid. Well, when I read descriptions like that, it's like, do we really have an actual flying snake described here, or is it some type of a craft? And I think the answer is pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think so too. Giorgio, what about the disclosure? Government ever going to come out and say, hey, they've been visiting us?
Well, as we now know, what was it, a couple of months ago that the White House released a statement saying that they have absolutely no evidence that extraterrestrials are here nor have they ever been here? Well, you know, come on, who's kidding whom here, right? So I to that I have to say, you know, disclosure, because a lot of people ask me, when do you think that will happen, right? And I'm like, you know what? Disclosure is happening right now. It's happening all around us. So shows like Ancient Aliens and conferences like the Conscious Life Expo and your program, of course, I think that we are all part of disclosure. And, you know, sooner or later, I mean, the pieces will all fall into place. And I think that the answer is crystal clear. It's right in front of our eyes. It's just that nobody has their eyes open. That's the only difference.
Giorgio, we're coming back to take some phone calls with you in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Well, next hour, Catherine Albrecht joins us. We're going to talk about some incredible, incredible privacy issues and things about technology that you have no idea. Wait till she comes on. And when we come back, let's take your phone calls with Giorgio Tsoukalos as we talk about the ancient alien theory on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. New to the program, just stumbled into us. You're listening to Coast AM. Giorgio Tsoukalos, our special guest tonight. I'm George Norrie. Giorgio, as you look at the ancient alien theory, do you think in the past this planet was a haven for visitations?
Yes, I do, because that is what all the ancient texts are pointing towards, that there was some type of activity that seems to have been happening in every continent, in every ancient culture. Because a lot of skeptics are saying, well, how come, you know, the Europeans were never visited by extraterrestrials, or the Scandinavians or something like this? And that's complete nonsense, because also in ancient European history and in ancient Scandinavian history and mythologies, we have references to the gods descending from the sky. In fact, there was sometimes interaction between between the Scandinavians and the Europeans as gods visited back and forth, because the gods that are described, for example, in Scandinavian history are very similar to the gods described in ancient Greek mythology. And so, you know, to suggest that, you know, the ETs only came down in Africa or in South America is total nonsense. And that is what the skeptics are saying. Oh, you know, you're just saying that this is, you know, the brown people or the black people were visited by extraterrestrials because they didn't know what was going on and things like this. But the truth of the matter is that each and every ancient culture all around the world on every continent was visited by flesh and blood extraterrestrials, and that's why we are who we are today.
Giorgio, are you a believer in the Planet X theory?
Well, I think that a lot can be said about the Planet X theory, because there are a whole bunch of scientists that have, or astronomers that have to proposed that throughout the entire universe, 80% of all solar systems fall under what's called a binary star system, which means that there are two suns. And we right now think that we are just with one sun. And if you look at that from the entire universe, that 80% of the whole universe falls under a binary star system, the likelihood that we are truly not a binary system is very small. It's only 20%. So if the Planet X theory that has been around for such a long time that the Sumerians have talked about 5,000 years ago, then, you know, I would think that there's definitely something to be said about Planet X. Now, do I think that Planet X will return in 2012? Absolutely not.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Glenn in Port Huron, Michigan. Welcome to the program, Glenn. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Giorgio, George, big fan.
Thank you.
Point to ponder, you had hit right on it. I was watching the movie Thor the other night, and they talked about nine realms. And I kind of put it together with, like, the Hubble and the Kepler telescope when they observe. I had read about them observing other binary systems, and they say it's not just one dwarf star. It's like three to five. So you might have, you know, say one comes around and there's Odin and Thor and his gang, and another one comes around, and you have to excuse me, I'm all out of breath, and another one comes around, there's Quasicodal, and another one comes around every so many thousand years, there's Ra and his gang. You know, just your ideas on that. I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, who were they, Giorgio? I mean, they were changeable, weren't they?
Yes, I mean, that's the thing, that, you know, it doesn't matter what ancient culture you go to, you have not similar, but pretty much identical stories of these gods. And so I don't think that in the ancient times that these gods or these extraterrestrials per se were different, but that they had a couple of base camps all around the world, and from there they ventured out
to educate and teach us in various disciplines. And one of those base camps, I think, was definitely at Pumapunku in the highlands of the Andes at an altitude of almost 12,800 feet, where still to this day, we cannot explain how this was done, because according to mainstream archaeologists, these incredible hard igneous, you know, stone slabs were apparently created with chicken bones with bronze tools. And anyone who has ever seen pictures of or footage of Pumapunku knows that chicken bones and bronze tools, there's absolutely no way that this could have happened like that.
And, you know, Giorgio, this is a strange planet. Listen, the mix of people who are, you know, caring and loving and heartwarming, mixed in with people who are, you know, murderers and, yeah, and greedy people and, you know, all these horrendous things that have happened on this planet because of certain people and individuals. Sometimes I've wondered if this is a prison planet where years ago the ancients dumped their most horrendous people on this planet. I mean, it's just strange. Unless the whole universe is full of planets with people like us.
Well, it really lends itself to belief like that, right? I mean, I to some extent agree, but to some extent I would have to say that even if it is a greedy person or an evil person or a murderer or whatever, I think that inherently we all know what is right and what's wrong. I don't subscribe to the idea that some people don't know what they're doing, because in the end, it's your choice. It's your decision what you're doing. And so, you know, some people have suggested that Earth might be a like SeaWorld or the San Diego Zoo,
yeah,
where, you know, it's called the zoo hypothesis. And that, to me, is more likely. But at the same time, you know, you raised a very interesting point, because I truly do think that, you know, good and evil permeates the entire universe.
I think you're right.
Yeah, because to think that extraterrestrials have it all figured out, that they're only, you know, cotton candy and wonderful and pink and beautiful, that's a bit too much of a, you know, wishful thinking for me. I think that everything happens throughout the universe as it happens on planet Earth, just on a much bigger, bigger scale. And they have figured it out a bit more than us as far as technology is concerned. But the questions about life, death, love, the soul, and God, and religion, and all that, even extraterrestrials are struggling with that still. It's still a question for them, because I don't think philosophy ever ends on any of our, you know, planetary systems out there. It's just who we are as living beings.
Well, physicist Stephen Hawking warns us to be very careful.
Yeah.
About letting extraterrestrials know exactly where we are.
Yeah, I have to disagree with him. He's a wonderful, incredible mind, but I would have to disagree with him, because I think that if an extraterrestrial life form has the capability of traveling or traversing the light years between the stars, those vast distances, that at least they've come to grips that, you know, if and when they show up, you know, on planet Earth, that they're not going to annihilate us.
Let's hope you're right.
Well, and according to the ancient texts, you know, we are their offsprings. We're all half we're all half humans and half extraterrestrials. We're all hybrids. So if we are their creation, or if we're their offspring, why would they come here and destroy us? See, that to me is way too much doom and gloom. And, you know, so, you know, Stephen Hawking, he's awesome. But at the same time, you know, there's certain, you know, thoughts that I of his that I disagree with.
Did you ever watch the old Twilight Zone show, To Serve Man?
Of course.
Well, remember that message. Let's go to Curtis in Dayton, Ohio, first-time caller. Curtis, welcome to Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, yeah, so a big fan of the show. I've actually just been catching up. One of my friends has got me watching it, and I've been kind of marathoning through it for the past few months. But season 4 is coming up. very soon. We just taped
season four, Giorgio. It is exciting, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I'm so stoked that a listener of Coast to Coast just announced that season four is coming up of Ancient Aliens, premiering on February 17th, Friday, February 17th, on the sister channel of History Channel called H2, formerly known as History International. So make sure you tune in for sure.
I was wondering what can we expect from season four?
Well, right now we are working on episodes where we're going to delve more into subjects that we've covered in season one and in season two. Like, for example, one episode we will dedicate completely to Puma Punku. And I've just been at Christopher Dunn's metal shop in Danville, Illinois, where we look at the possibility, how were the Puma Punku stones cut way back in the day? And I got to tell you, I had a revelatory day when I hung out with Chris Dunn, because, you know, a lot of people say, you know, they've had to have used lasers or some type of plasma devices in order to cut the Puma Punku stones. And you know what? We actually blew that theory out of the water, because we tried to cut Puma Punku stone with lasers. And guess what? It didn't work. So the solution, you'll have to tune in to season four of Ancient Aliens for that.
I want to know how they move those stones, what, 30 kilometers at least?
Oh, that's another thing, George, because let's remember that we are situated at an altitude of 12,800 feet, which means we are above the natural tree line. So no trees ever grew at that altitude with which they could have cut down the trees to use the trunks for wooden rollers. So all those theories, see, if you just scratch the surface, all of a sudden you'll come to the realization that the answers we've been given for the past century no longer are satisfactory.
Next up, let's go to Elk City, Idaho. It's Ted's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah.
Hi.
George and Giorgio, it's a pleasure. You have no idea what a treat it is to talk to you people.
Well, thank you.
Oh, get out of here.
I have.
Did you just tell me to get out of here, George?
No, not you.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I have a story that kind of lines up with Travis Walton's story.
All right.
Same year, 1975, but in October instead of September, my family are outfitters, take people elk hunting, and me and my dad was coming back out of the mountains after taking care of our stock, 10, 11 o'clock at night, coming down a ridge, and a big, big light comes on us, so bright we could not see out of the pickup. We had to stop in the road. And before we stopped, we could see the light was right behind the trees, right above us, and we thought it was an airplane crashing. This is in the backcountry, way out in the middle of nowhere, nobody around.
And no helicopter sound, right?
If there would have been anything out there flying around, they would have been wrecked.
Yeah, you would have known that.
So we got out of the pickup and started listening for the screaming and hollering and flames. No noise, nothing. Dead still quiet. So my dad walks back to the pickup, pulls out his antique 30-30 and heads out through the brush, thinking he's going to catch whatever is out there. Well, I knew it wasn't an airplane. I knew what it was. I got back in the pickup, and I sit there and watch my dad walk around out in the trees, and he's looking back at me, and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, this thing's got a headlight 50 to 60 feet wide, and you're out there walking around with my grandpa's antique 30-30. It only holds 5 shells. Mm-hmm. All he said was, "Good point." Walked back over, got back in the pickup with me, and we came back off the mountain. The light was out by then. And the
pickup worked? It wasn't dead at all?
It didn't shut the truck off.
It didn't go down like Close Encounters when the Dreyfus's truck couldn't start.
It was a month before Travis was abducted.
Uh-huh.
The same year. And it was kind of hair-raising.
That's a great story. I mean, I wonder if it was the same craft looking around for people, Giorgio.
Yeah. No, I'm always amazed at stories like this, because all I have to say is that this gentleman, he just went in front of an audience of a million listeners, at least.
How many? Up it a little bit, Georgie. Come on.
And so, you know, why would anybody do this if they didn't see something like this? Because I always am amazed when skeptics say, well, you know, all these stories are made up and things like that. It's like, you know, these are stories and things that you don't want to talk about. So for someone to come forward and talk about this and the abduction stories and the abduction experiences, I mean, it is and was a significant part of their lives. So why would anyone in their right mind come up with a story like this? I mean, so something has to be said about any of these stories, and I think they're absolutely magnificent.
Super, super. And by the way, Giorgio, for the record, our audience is bigger than almost every television show's audience, cable network.
I think that's wonderful.
How about that?
I think that's amazing.
Let's go to the Bronx. Al is with us, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Al. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're
I have
okay.
A question. Actually, my daughter brought it up to me, Annika, and she's only 10. If humans have been genetically manipulated from another alien species, has there been any other animal species from this planet genetically manipulated, like dogs, cats, were they given to us by the ancient ones?
Well, that's a good question. Who would know, Giorgio? How would we know that?
I think that's a very awesome question, because we all now know, and even biologists agree with this, that today's birds are heirs of dinosaurs. So they are the offspring of dinosaurs. How this all came about, I personally do not know, because I am not a biologist. However, at the same time, there are researchers who have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that dinosaurs are the ancestors of birds. And now, how is something like this possible, especially if we're told, for example, that for the longest time, they have said, you know, the dinosaurs have been extinct for 65 million years. And then in the 1920s, 1930s, a species of fish was discovered in the South Pacific called the coelacanth. And anyone can Google this tonight. The coelacanth has been thought to have been extinct for 65 million years, yet only 100 years ago or 80 years ago, the coelacanth was rediscovered. And guess what? In the 65 million years, the coelacanth has remained exactly the same, which flies completely in the face of normal or, you know, Darwinian evolution.
You know what's so exciting about all this, Giorgio, is just the possibility of letting your mind just run wild and think about all these things.
No, because I'm the first one, I've said this many times, if I get evidence tomorrow that the ancient alien theory is wrong, I will be the first one to accept it and say, all right, fine, that's it, I'm moving on. But
I don't think it's wrong.
No, of course not.
I do not think it's wrong. What's new, very quickly, with the Legendary Times?
Well, Legendary Times, I'm putting on the final pages of the new issue, and the new issue will come out in full color. So after 13 years of printing in black and white, we're now printing in color. I'm very excited about that. And everyone that's subscribed out there, I have not forgotten about you, but it is a one-man show. So, you know, just bear with me and everything will be fine.
All right, my friend. Giorgio, I'll see you coming up in a couple weeks, okay?
Thank you very much, George.
Giorgio Tsoukalos, Ancient Aliens. He's good. He's one of the best out there. In a moment, Catherine Albrecht joins us. We're going to talk about privacy issues, things that you would have no idea what Big Brother wants to do and get information on you. And advertisers, too. So check in with us. We'll be right back.